Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Champions League final build-up show. I didn't think I'd get to do one of these as a presenter of Red Men when I was climbing my house at the 10-year anniversary of Istanbul 4 years ago. This is the second one in 2 years. It is my privilege to introduce to my guest today, of course, the man, the legend, Mr. Chris Pajak, the other man, the legend, John Machen, and yet the other man, the legend, Andy Grant as well. Chock full of wonderful human beings to be in the building with today as we talk about Liverpool in the European Cup final.
And Tom.
Tom and Dan are here as well, like, you know what I mean? But no one needed to know that. Before I dive into it all, because it's Champions League, well, everyone's got an interest there. We are partnered today with the wonderful people at DraftKings. They've got something to bring you. I've got it written down, there's a lot of words. Something special to bring you in celebration of Saturday's final. We've got a free fantasy football contest for this weekend's match where you can win your share of $2,000 in prizes. $2,000 makes it seem so much more special somehow, like, you've pounds, I'd be like, $2,000!
With Brexit, it's about $2,000, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about the perfect time to win some dollars. to click the link in the description and select the play free button. Draft a full lineup of players. Keep an eye on the leaderboard as the game plays out. Obviously, there's certain rules, like you get plus 20 points for a goal, for a forward, for a midfielder, it's plus 22, for a defender, it's 24, and for a goalkeeper, it's 26. So, you know, if Big Alisson Becker sticks one in from his own area, presumably you're going to get more points for the goal. Well, I think that makes perfect sense, to be honest. I think you should win. If you pick Becker as your goalkeeper and he scores, but that's not up to me to pick.
Like the golden snitch.
Yeah, good. Obviously, eligibility restrictions apply. You can see the website for full details, and there's info in the video description underneath this as well. So yeah, do get involved. We'll be playing, and you should too as well. Right, yes, Chris. Champions League final. Oh my God. This has been the weirdest build-up I think to a game I think I've ever experienced.
Because you went on holiday.
Yeah, but no, I was talking to Andy about this. I mean, like, not just the length of time, because the length of time is it, but the season finishes, and I finish the last game, get some content done, and go away. And then when you come back, it's like you're doing transfer content, and you're dicking around and filling time and doing fun stuff, and this has been fun stuff. But I said to Andy, I feel like stepping back into work is like stepping onto a roundabout that's at full speed. This is all gathering pace, it's all kicking off, but it's been the weirdest stretch to get to this game.
It felt so long for me because everything's focusing on Madrid and like 3 weeks and everything you're talking about, you can talk. I don't want to talk about transfers now. The season's not over. Yeah. I don't even like talking about transfers when the season's over, if I'm perfectly honest. Yeah. I like watching footy. So to get to preview a game for 3 weeks, a game of this magnitude, has been boss, but also getting like different people's opinions on it. So we're going to hear Andy and John today. I'm looking forward to that. I've heard Carragher's, I've heard Jamie Webster's, and I've heard Ox and Hendo's and stuff like that. So it's been brilliant because I've got to speak to more people before the game, whereas if it was just a week later, wouldn't have been able to cram all that in. Yeah, so actually, in some ways, it's been really good, but in other ways, I felt like a George R. R. Martin fan waiting for the next fucking book. Yeah. Because it's been about 8 years, and this is what it kind of felt like since the season's ended.
That's it. I think this the great thing about it, that is this is it now. You know, we're on the countdown. I keep chatting with people who I'm now not going to see until after the final. This stretch, the boring part's done now. This is where we can start to get the little bubblings of excitement.
The whole city, you feel it as you go and walk around the streets or the shops. You know, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, there might have been one window with a flag in it. Now there's whole streets full of flags and banners. you know, cars have all got flags out the windows, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah,
it's just really, really exciting.
It's one of the best things about Liverpool when you get to a Champions League final, and it's seeing everyone just putting the colours up and stuff. There's nothing better.
But it's this thing, isn't it? And it's maybe people probably do it in other cities. I don't care. We do it brilliantly, and even the blue noses have turned the nose up. Think back to the FA Cup semi-final. It was red, blue. They were doing exactly the same thing. It's one thing we do very well in this city is get behind our footy clubs when they're in big events. I mean, Dad's right. There's such a buzz around the city. Every conversation you overhear in the corner shop or whatever, it's all about this.
Yeah, I mean, I was went to the gym this morning. In the gym, you started being able to say to the lads, right, I'll see you in Madrid. It's getting to that point now, and then after the gym, I went to the cafe. In the cafe, the young girls putting posters up in the window in the cafe, and it's just that feeling of everyone's just buzzing for it. But yeah, you're totally right. In the build up to it, it's felt like that time between Christmas and New Year. No one kind of knows what day it is and stuff.
That's true. That's the best, right?
And yeah, so it's felt a bit weird, but definitely last couple of days, I've thought, you know, we're on the final stretch now, and like you just said, then it's just great driving here now. You're seeing all the flags and everything, and I am like properly buzzing now for it.
It's like the Christmas analogy spot on, particularly with like the people dressing the houses stuff, because everyone around ours is mad for Christmas and they're mad for the Liverpool stuff as well. There's houses that are just, it's again, if it was Climbo, there's a comp, it's like everyone's in competition to get who can have the most cardboard cutouts of players next to the door. Honestly, it's mad, and the bunting and all that stuff, and it's all the pop-up shops, the entrepreneurial spirit that's been embraced by the city. I adore it. But I mean, Andy, how have you been emotionally with it, because it's such a long time to sustain excitement, and the season did kind of, like, you know, we were saying that to not win the league, this sustained us, this defo took the edge off the disappointment of that.
Massively.
But I still finished the season and I was still a little bit down. Have you coped the last few weeks?
I remember after the Barcelona game, even though we still had Wolves in the last game, after that Barcelona game, I swear to God, I took a couple of days there to properly recover, and in the sense of I was having like naps for the next 2 days. I just felt so emotionally drained. And then I kind of finally got through that, and then it was the Wolves game, and then there's the franticness of trying to sort your travel and the logistics out for the final. And I've tried my best to try and switch off, but I've just not been able to. I've been watching some of the stuff you guys have been putting up, and just as much information as you can, and I've tried my best. I think I tried for a couple of days to think I'm going to switch off, and then you start seeing on social media all the build up, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to just get stuck in, and I've just been trying to just get as much of it as I can.
It's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, you're coming over with me. It's your first European. Is that your first European Cup final? So, I mean, you know, you've been there and seen it all. You know, the glory days of Liverpool. Is that how's that? Has that extra impetus helped?
It does. I mean, I don't normally get nervous about football games at all. Not anymore, anyway. But this one, every time I think about it, my stomach just goes, you know, the way butterflies and things. So yeah, I'm really, really buzzing for it. Yeah.
It's
terrific.
It's
of all places as well, Madrid.
Yeah, and particularly given the last time we went on a European away was, of course, to the Bernabeu. The less said about that, the better, of course.
Thanks, Brendan.
Yeah, nice one, Brendan. But that, the whole vibe to me feels different this time around, particularly compared to a year ago. I just done a show where we were talking about reacting to Klopp's press conference and talking about some of the things that he was saying. This feels like there's a real sense of assuredness going into this. I would say confidence, but I think confidence can often be misconstrued for cockiness. I don't get that. I just get this real feeling of, like,
I think
power
there's a
going
sense of maturity about the team, isn't there now? You know, you think of them and you think solidity. You don't, you know, there's no sort of weak links in it, really. You're going into it, whereas last year we were going up against Madrid and you were thinking, oh God, this is a bit. You're still thinking we'd beat them because we had the firepower to do it. But at the end of that game, I felt like we'd been conned somehow.
Yeah.
We weren't mature enough or savvy enough to understand we'd been rope-a-doped, you know? And this time, I think we're going in, our eyes completely wide open. We know exactly what a European final's all about. And with players who are red-hot and who are desperate to win.
I think that's completely true, Chris. And that's the thing. This feels like a it feels like a path well trodden all of a sudden. This is only, you know, second time back in the European Cup, in, you know, third in what, like 10 years or whatever, pretty much we've been in this competition. But this does feel like we've been talking about this all season. There's a sense of place. There's a sense of belonging here, and it's not. It's coming from the team. It's coming from the manager, but it's actually. I think it's coming from the fan base as well.
It is, and it should do. You know, last season we got to the Champions League final. We've talked about it. This season we've knocked off the Serbian champions, the Portuguese champions, the Spanish champions, the German champions. I mean, these aren't teams that.
That just sounds great to say that again.
You know what I mean? You're knocking all these people off. Napoli finished second in Serie A as well. So we've beaten brilliant sides, and we deserve to be here. And that's. I think sometimes, although we were great last season, we didn't show our full potential like we have this season. This season, we've been playing knockout football for 3 months, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, was it 9 we won on the spin at the back end of the league season and stuff like that? So because of the way that we've been fighting with Manchester City, all right, we finished with 97. We didn't quite get over the line. But the way that we were grinding out results, it's been knockout football. That's what we're going into
result,
again.
We at Barca, we never actually deserved to get beaten.
Yeah.
You know, that says everything, I think, about the quality of the team.
We'll talk a bit about that bit about the Barca stuff and what have you in a second, Andy. But I think the thing that's worth considering, just to kind of take a sidestep into kind of Spurs world a little bit at the moment. It feels like, as much as we've got this sense of assurance, I think they've got such a great story behind them as well, that it's we get lost in our own little bubble at times, I think, with these things, that they will feel, and just as justifiably as us to some extent, that their name's written on it as well. You know, you don't get out of that. You know, no, I think was it 1 point or no points after 3 games in the groups?
1 point, I think it was.
You're right. And then, you know, to come through the VAR stuff against this, the fight back against Ajax. They will be striving into this thinking that there's a sense of destiny for themselves.
Yeah, totally. I feel like they're having their, you know, Istanbul season, really, aren't they? You know, the Olympiacos that we had and stuff. They've had all those moments. But for me personally, we spoke before about the vibe. It just feels so different in the sense of, you look at that team now and the culture and that the ethos that Klopp has got, and the whole team and the fan base and the staff and everyone involved. As plucky as Tottenham's route to the final has been, and it has been, you know, great to see them from a football point of view. I just look and get this feel from Liverpool where it's the team's just too good. And I think years ago, you know, you look at through my lifetime following Liverpool, we've always done well in the cups, and it's always been we've fluked some cup finals. We've had our luck along the way, and whereas this time I'm not looking at it thinking, oh, it could be Tottenham's Istanbul season. I'm looking at that team thinking, this is an assured team of top quality players who, you know, they should do the job.
This feels like that team, if you were to look back on it, it feels like I can imagine looking back on this team in 20 years' time, and it's got a couple of league titles and a European Cup or two, or, you know, it's got a bank of wins under its belt, and we consider it in the same vein as all the other glorious teams that we've seen in the past.
It's exactly the same in the sense of, I heard you talk with Carragher, and Carragher's openly saying, you know, that team I played in, it wasn't a great team and stuff, where what you've just said then, this is a team you look back on and you'll think, it's probably one of the best teams I've ever seen. And that vibe is definitely shone throughout the season.
It's like they won't be denied. You know, and you can look back at different games at points during the season. You know, the Everton one when we beat them, and Tottenham, you know, late on in the season at Anfield, Newcastle, all of these things. It's like we're just going to go, we're going to win this game. We are going to win this game. We will not be denied. And this, again, another Game of Thrones reference here. You can like the story and not the fucking ending, Tottenham fans. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. You might have a great story, but yeah, the ending might not be what you want.
Well, they do. They feel very, I think Andy's right, they feel very like us. Like even this as much as a year ago or two years ago, this Tottenham side, and it's funny because they should be ahead of us in their development. Obviously, we've injected a lot of cash into this side. I think we've obviously overtaken your seat in the league performance.
I think like Andy said, Istanbul and to some extent the Inter, Mourinho's Inter, mm-hmm, again, was that Barca in the final?
I think it'd be Barca in the semis.
Chelsea it was, thinking about it. These teams who get there, who you don't expect to get there, who ride their luck all the way through and end up winning, we know that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're a team that's been in 3 European finals in 4 years, and the experience those players now have, you know, I think should see us through.
Yeah, you know? I completely agree with that. And that's the thing. The thing that's weird, though, and it has to be mentioned, because we don't have to mention it because it's a Liverpool show. We can just literally get our heads down and focus on all the wonderful stuff around Liverpool. It's interesting. I think Carr has referenced it, and one or two ex-players have referenced it, that the fear Liverpool should have in this is just because mad things can happen in football. Because we've seen Spurs do it. Spurs shouldn't have. You know, but if VAR doesn't come in this season, then Spurs get knocked out. You know, and they have been riding the seat of the pants, and there's no, you can't plan for that stuff. And Jürgen's been referencing this press conference. So you can't factor in every roll of the ball. Things
and
do happen.
It also means you can't
football.
Relax, because you can be 2-0 up at half time. You think it's still not over.
Yeah, but it's good. But that's the thing. I agree with everything you kind of driving towards as well. And this I can't fathom us not winning it. And that doesn't mean that we can't, we will win it. That doesn't mean that it can't go wrong for whatever reason, because you're still going to get past 11 lads who've all got their own stories, their own motivations, their own ability to kick the ball in 360, in 360 degrees or whatever. But this is probably like the level of things that people hate us for. But I don't feel like I'm being cocky. I don't feel like I'm being a prick about this.
No, we've watched this team all season long. Yeah. Tottenham lost nearly a third of the games in the league now. I think they're better than that.
Yeah.
But they haven't had a good 2019. Whichever way you look at it, they were up there with us at Manchester City at the turn of the year. And they weren't at the end of the season. And now ultimately, we both qualified for the Champions League. So they'll be looking at it, well, it doesn't matter. What we've done is we've focused our energies on getting a bit further in the Champions League. But what Liverpool were able to do, and why our story is slightly better in that regard, is we were able to keep the consistency in the league and keep that consistency in the Champions League.
The thing is, we've improved this year and they haven't. You know, they were, you know, challenging for the title last year and everyone thought they had a good shot. This year, they've fallen away. They conceded an awful lot of goals this year. Yeah. You know, we've gone the opposite way. Yeah. We've stopped conceding goals and still continue to score loads of goals.
I think that the encouraging thing from their perspective, Andy, is that obviously Harry Kane has very publicly declared himself fit. Of course he has, because it's got to be about Harry Kane at all times. But, they've handled life without him this season at times. So they were set pretty well. One way or the other. Harry Kane's fit, they get a world-class centre-forward to start in the game. Harry Kane's not fit, well, Lucas Moura and Son have proved themselves more than capable deputies. Even Llorente's done a job for them in the meantime. So there's defo still things to be wary of, but I agree, it does feel as though, you know, if we were to judge it side by side, Liverpool should be the favourites.
A couple of things on that, I think it's... When we haven't been favourites and you can't have, you're clutching everything, don't you? Last time Liverpool won the league, we played in this colour against the team in that colour, and someone got married and this happened. Whereas yeah. I think that's how maybe Tottenham are feeling. Whereas again, we're all much more assured. The one thing on Tottenham, I was lucky enough to do a talk with the England team before the World Cup, and I've always thought as a football fan, Harry Kane, why is he captain? I don't really rate him as a captain. But I tell you what, he's got a presence about him in that England squad and the setup. Just standing by him, you thought, okay, I can see why he's captain. So I do think it's a big plus for them having him back. I almost want him to start because he seems to take such a long time in getting going. If you look at this season.
Was August.
He had this big thing about he never scored in August. So I think he takes a long time to get going. And I also think Moura, I think, and Son, and he played the kind of two or three kind of attacking players, might pose a bit more of a threat. But again, I think, like you've just said then, everyone can have their own little story and fairy tale if you look in. If you look long enough and hard enough into each individual, why they should win it. But I'd rather be in our position as the favourites, feeling much more confident than thinking, oh, this has got to be ours because we've won this game and that game.
I think that's spot on. I think I think their big thing is riding on the whole, like, well, look, it's meant to be. You don't get through VAR and it says you don't score late against Ajax if it's not. I think they're carrying, that's their crest of wave, that they're hoping that the fates are going to hand it to them. We recognise it, don't we?
I've had my mate, as the run-up's going in, my mate said, I said, you know, do you still think we want to win the league? And he said, I refuse to believe all these late winners came for nothing. And it did come for nothing. So it's not written in the stars because you have a bit of luck along the way. And I think that's what Tottenham are, unfortunately for them, going to find out, that you can have all the luck in the world, but once you come up against the great sides, sometimes you you're just going to get beat.
That's it. I think the Harry Kane stuff's interesting, Chris, because, I mean, look, we've seen so many stories of finals of great strikers being rushed back into to games. You know, you go back to your Ravanellis and your Ronaldos in the World Cup, and I suspect Harry Kane will be fitter than all of that. But there is that, there's so much pressure, and I think he's so important that even if all this talk is, are they better with him or without him? And I've heard loads of people say, oh, they're much better without him. The boss with him and without him, because they're a dead good side. But that's something to watch out for, is that even if he's fully fit, even if he was fully fit 2 weeks ago, he's not been playing football. You know, he's the one, you know, and I think Liverpool are in a more comfortable situation that we could really do with Bobby Firmino being fully fit and firing and ready for this game. But I think Liverpool are relaxed enough that I think we would put Firmino on the bench. I think they would take the gamble on Kane because he's so important. Talismanic.
I think that's right. He wins them so many free kicks.
I look at it and I think, you know, I do think that Spurs are better without Harry Kane. Now, it's not because he's a bad player. It's because I think they get more out of Son. And I think Son isn't as good when Kane's on the field. And I really like Son as a player. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
I love Son.
He's incredible. But what Harry Kane does, he's a great finisher. And if he gets an opportunity, he's going to finish it off. You know what I mean? But for me, when Liverpool have lost Firmino, we're still playing the same way. When Tottenham have lost Kane, I don't think they are. And that's the thing that I think, if Kane is to play, you're asking them to go back to a style of football that they last played nearly 2-3 months ago. Mm. Whereas Liverpool have still been playing with the fluid front three, you know what I mean? Nothing's changed, we're still doing the same things, but the whole shape of Tottenham moving forward changes when Kane isn't there.
Feels like you might have a stats and tactics show based around...
I haven't actually, I've just made this shit up on the spot.
Well, there you go. It is very, very interesting stuff. I mean, the good thing, Dad, about the Firmino stuff for us, because, just before filming, we saw the media day and we saw Firmino training on his own. Chris speculated whether that might be a little bit of gamesmanship from Jürgen, because the media eyes are on there. Keep him to one side, because you don't want to tip your hand too much. I think the good thing that we've got going for us this time around, that we certainly didn't have last year and we haven't had for a number of years.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We're much better with Firmino in. In a dream scenario, it goes without saying that our front three is our front three.
You just have to look when he came on against Barca. We actually nearly scored.
Yeah.
Twice in the, he was only on for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he adds that much to the game. He adds to Salah's game, yeah, and he adds to Mane's game.
But the beauty is, because you're dead right about all that, but I personally am so much more relaxed about our squad situation, because, look, Origi scored two against Barcelona. Jadon Sancho come on and set up the goal for Gini.
We've seen Mane play as a centre forward as well, if need be.
You know. It's always been next man up for us. That's the thing that I've thought this season, you know, whether it's Sturridge in the early parts of the season when Firmino's out and he steps up against PSG, whether it's Shaqiri against Man United, Origi, Shaqiri later on in the season. These lads are all, he's got them, it's like Klopp's just got them primed and ready. As soon as you get your opportunity, you've got to take it. And I feel like when we're going into the cup final, I really like the substitutes thing as well, you know, having the extra subs. I feel like that gives us a few more options. Certainly, if you're in a losing position, you can roll the dice a lot easier, can't you? Because you've got every attacking player there.
Klopp made that point, didn't he, in one of his interviews, that he now has people on the bench who he can bring on and if he needs to mix things up. Whereas last year, he had Lallana, who was hardly fit, and he had Chan, who was hardly fit, and
that
was it.
We were talking about this before, and you know, I think Solanke, you know, we had Solanke's option. You're not going to bring Dominic Solanke into that. Whereas our worst case, and this is, I'm not looking to be offensive to Daniel Sturridge in any way, shape or form when I say this, but it's just the nature of the pecking order. Daniel Sturridge is almost our worst case option. This is a lad who, you know, we're talking about Harry Kane getting a chance inside the box. Daniel Sturridge is exactly the same. This is a lad who was a top level footballer. And that is the situation where we're in.
And he scored in the European final.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest things Klopp's done is how he's just got everyone built in to, again, this ethos. And you know, if Salah doesn't score that goal against Chelsea, Sturridge is getting goal of the season for the one he's done against Chelsea in the one at Stamford Bridge. Anytime he's come on, he scored the important goal against PSG. This Daniel Sturridge, you're talking about him at the same level as Harry Kane a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 2013-14, he was unbelievable, and I don't think he will get any minutes. No. But
that's the levels.
If Liverpool 1-0 down with 5 to go, fucking throw Brewster on and Sturridge and Origi, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? You just roll the dice.
If you need a goal very late on, you could have worse options than Daniel.
But this
Sturridge.
Is my point: is that people, sorry, people were saying like, well, we needed to add one more body to the front line, and I think we do. And I think this summer, I still think we could do with going big for another top quality lad in rotation. But we've improved. You know, again, our options last season, our backup options, the front three were Danny Ings, Dominic Solanke, and then ultimately Adam Lallana, who hadn't played all season.
And this is going to sound like a stupid point, and maybe you'll be like, "What are you on about?" But even though the options are maybe similar in the sense of you bring on Daniel Sturridge last season as a sub and you bring him on this season as a sub, but I think it's the mentality is different. Yeah. You know, maybe a year or two ago when you're looking at the bench and you're thinking, oh, who's this? Origi coming on, what's he going to do? Or Sturridge. Now you're going, hey, these are probably going to score. Knowing how the substitutions Klopp's making and how he's got them all firing. You know, 5-10 minutes to go, Sturridge comes on. I'm fancying him to score.
No, exactly. But Daniel Sturridge, as mentioned, scored against Chelsea this season, scored against PSG. Jens Jacquet scored 2 against Man United. Divock Origi scored in the derby. Scored twice against Barcelona. You know what I mean? These are not. This is not Dom Solanke hitting the post in the derby and going, oh, if he just gets a bit of luck, he might be all right for us. Oh, doesn't Danny Ings work really hard? If he gets some games under his belt, he could be a decent player for us. We've got players, as you say, to varying degrees of readiness. You know, I wouldn't like to see 90 minutes of Jadon Sancho, you know, necessarily. But if we had to use these lads, yeah, we are a much different animal to what we were 12 months ago, which is very, very good indeed.
The real interesting thing for me going into this game is what formation are Tottenham going to play? That's the thing that I'm looking at and thinking, I just don't know what they're going to do because they've started 4 at the back against us earlier on in the season at Wembley, didn't they? And then at Anfield, they played a 3 at the back or a 5 at the back, whichever way you want to look at it. And now...
But they switched, didn't they? 4 at the back.
Yeah, about 30 minutes in, something like that, I think. Oh, about 30 minutes in, they moved players around. I think they altered the forward line. Half-time, they went to 4 at the back. And then they got good against us. And one of the things that Carragher was telling me the other day is he thinks the players will be pushing Pochettino to go 4 at the back. But he actually thinks that Pochettino wants to go 5 at the back, and he thinks there's a bit of an imbalance there because the players recognise that when they went to 4 at the back, they got much more into the game and created opportunity. So that for me is the real thing.
The beauty of all this, though, is I'm not asked what formation they play. You know, no, but you know what I mean. Like, not that I'm being blasé about it, but we were talking about this on the Reds News Roundup on the website before. Liverpool will largely play a predictable team, which we'll talk about in a minute. They'll largely play the same shape, and yet
how we can go with two completely different approaches to how we, and that's once again just in terms of mentality. Do we want to try and blow Spurs away in 20 minutes? We click that button and we try that approach. Do we want to play on the counter and do some counter pressing? We'll do that. Do we want to just sit on the ball and feel the game out for 45 minutes and make it a 90 minute football match and try and win it with 15 minutes to go? We can do all that. That's probably our last concern, is probably that, can we adapt, how well we adapt to a change in the game? But past that, it feels like this is the most prepared we've been for a game of football.
It's great to think that, you know, we're like this, or how Spurs going to line up, are they going to use Kane or not? Like you say, they probably know our starting 11 now. They probably know how we're going to play. But the great thing is, when you've got that confidence, and it's not cockiness, it's confidence in what we've seen all season, you're sitting there going, well, yeah, you know what we're going to do, but we'll still blow you away. It's like saying, I know Usain Bolt, he's going to come out the blocks and he'll end up just... it's just because you know what he's going to do doesn't mean you can stop him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's okay saying, I know, it's a different thing actually trying to do something about it.
It's like the old Liverpool sides who were winning European Cups. They went out and played the way they played. They didn't change it in any way, given who they were playing. They just went out and went, this is Liverpool, this is the way we play.
Yeah,
and that's the way I feel about this. We're going to go out and we're going to play the way we play.
I think the good thing we've got there, because none of us can know the results and none of us are going to know what's going to happen. We can't predict every kick of the ball, as mentioned already. But what this team has earned from us is trust. It's earned that I trust, even without, before the ball's kicked, even days in advance, I trust that team's going to go out and they're going to be sharp, they're going to be prepared, their heads are going to be in the game, they're going to go out, they're going to work the bollocks off, they're going to make, you know, sensible decisions, they're going to do, because they've earned this trust, because that's what we've seen. We've had a year of this now, but 18 months of it really, when you think back. And that provides me with, it's just a real sense of comfort, that's going to go big time. The second I get on the flight to Madrid, I'm probably going to be a wreck. But at the minute, the only concern I have ahead of this game is just, until I pick my tickets off, I'm gonna flap until I've got my tickets in my hand, and then I think I'm just looking forward to soaking it all in. Chris mentioned it already. Actually, we've got a fantastic interview with Jamie Carragher. This camera, thanks, Tom. With Jamie Carragher, it's on the YouTube channel. There's loads of amazing content going up on the RedmenTV.com. But if you haven't seen the Carragher stuff, here's a little clip.
He's quite pally, you know, really close with his brother who helps him a lot. Really, I know his mum from the days when my son was at the academy, and Trent, I didn't know who Trent was, but you knew who his mum was. She was there every night watching the training, so she's a big influence on him as well. But he'd be like any lad, he'd have his mates from school. I don't think he goes out too much. I don't think he'd be in the middle of town pissed like I was at times when I was younger, or Stevie, or different things like that. But no, he's got his head screwed on. As a lot of young English players have now, they get a lot of criticism, but I think they are, you know, a really good group of people. You see that with the England squad, but... And there's also talk of him going to midfield. I don't see that. I think he'd be not wasted going into midfield. I think you get so much from a fullback. I think he could and should go on to be the best full... He should. I think he should be disappointed if he doesn't become the best right-back in the world.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal work. And yeah, in addition to that, we've got an interview with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and with Jordan Henderson as well, which is brilliant. That's on the RedmenTV.com. I had a chat with Jürgen Klopp and Jeannie Wijnaldum as well. All the full interviews for them are on that website. You might have seen, if you haven't seen already, Boss Night Unplugged. Watch that. Get in the mood, get in the party mood ahead of Madrid for all that as well. And there's a full length there, an even longer version of that on the website. So much, so much great stuff. Before we crack on and talk about the team, Chris, we've got another sponsor.
Well, yeah, we've partnered with Euronights. You can see it on the table just in front of me. Excellent work there, Tom, by the way. So this is the official Champions League programme. There's a pre-order link or an order link in the video description now. Little surprise in there. There's a little article that I've done. Ahead of the Champions League final, so I have, well, they told me that it had passed the edit, whether it actually gets into the final magazine or not. If anyone had ever said to me you'd write something that would go in a Champions League final programme, I'd have probably said you were on crack, but it is there, I hope, because I really hope that it's there, so you can get one of them. I'm proud of what I've written, even though it doesn't make sense.
I've read it. It makes great sense. Once again, you've excelled yourself in these last few weeks. Chris Pajak's gone up to the next level. Not just the angry, shouty man that I've known for so long. cultured footballing connoisseur, Chris Pajak. Right, let's talk a little bit about the team. Once again, and it boils down to, look, if Roberto Firmino's fit, I think we're all going to have him in there. The big question mark, I think, is it's just going to come over the midfield three. Is there really... Do you think there's only one position up for grabs here, or is there two?
I don't think there's none. I just think it's Milner's unfortunately got to go on the bench. Okay. Fabinho, Henderson, Ronaldo. I think that's just got to be the midfield for me. You could... I don't even think Gomez comes into it. I think it's
I think that's like the next tier of conversation. Yeah. But I completely agree. I think it's massive
all day. Yeah. And hopefully, yeah, Bobby. And I think that's what I said before. But Spurs are probably looking, thinking we know their team. But I don't care, because I think that team is, you're looking at two best fullbacks in the world, best keeper, best defender, and midfield three that have experience now. And again, like you said before, you've got confidence in them, you've got trust in them. And the front three speak for itself. I think Milner will 100% come on and have a huge impact, whether we're chasing the game or whether we're on top. And I can also see Origi coming on for Bobby, but that'll be my starting 11.
I think it's really interesting stuff, isn't it, Dad? Because it's mad that we're looking at a situation now where I think Jordan Henderson in particular, it's strange to talk about the Liverpool captain in this way, but this is the life that he's unfortunately had to lead, I think, in his last few years. But his performances in the back end of the season, I am so excited to see Jordan Henderson play in this game, because I think he's curtailed himself for far too long. I think he's done that job for the team, and now he gets to be...
He gets to play where he wants to play.
He gets to play the captain's role. He gets to be the man he wants to be.
He gets to be the hero. Yeah.
Well, he's afforded the platform to make himself that.
And I agree about the team. I think that's exactly what the team will be as well. Except there's a little thing in the back of my head which says Klopp does tend to prefer Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum as his favourite three.
Yeah.
Put them out at Bayern when everyone hit the roof and said, what the hell is he doing playing those dogs?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were brilliant that night. So I just have a little niggle in the back of my mind that Klopp might surprise people. Mm-hmm. They played in the final last year as well, didn't they? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Not that he had any choice. There was only three fifth players they had. But,
yeah. For me, it comes down to what you first mentioned. And, you know, I'm doing the starting 11 later today, and the big question mark is it Wijnaldum or is it James Milner? Because, you know, I know Wijnaldum missed out against Barcelona. Milner obviously starts that game, but comes on, has such an impact in that game that it's like, hang on, he's not knocking on the door, he's banging the frigging thing down. I need to Jürgen and said, start me. But Milner started twice against Tottenham this season, and with him starting against Barcelona and how good that midfield has been at Bayern and places like that, I do still think Milner's got a chance.
It's
really flick of a coin for me between the two of them.
And it's, again, not to be bothered, it's a bit of a shrug for me. Not in a dismissive way. I think we're fine either way. I would much prefer, I'd be infinitely comforted by Fabinho starting in the six, I'll be honest. I think that's fair, because as much as you mentioned the Bayern game, Henderson goes off injured, Fabinho comes in the Allianz, and
Fabinho for me is like the future.
Yeah.
And the sooner he's established in that team as the guy you go to, like Van Dijk is in the back.
Yeah.
You know, Fabinho, he's there every game. Yeah. That's what you want, and you certainly want him to be playing in a game like this.
You look at it. I don't like talking about them because they've got nothing to do with this final ultimately. But you look at like Fernandinho at Man City. That he's the DM. He plays every game. You can put Gundogan in, and he's brilliant. But he's not Fernandinho in that. No, I agree. I think Milner definitely deserves it. But then, do you deserve it? Gini scores two goals. Comes off the bench. Scores two goals.
On that, you're talking about if you're going to have an impact sub. Forget the Barca game, where he comes on and has such an impact he does. Take that out of the equation. Milner, I think, is the better sub to bring on just because of experience.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you need to see the game out, you'd rather be bringing Milner on than Wijnaldum. But then, like you say, you throw in the Barca game and you think, well, look at the
odds. I'll be honest, I have to admit that's the way I'm leaning on it for a number of factors, and I don't want to have to go down the rabbit hole because we're trying to build toward the spirit of positivity, but I want James Milner on the pitch if it goes to penalties, and I don't want James Milner taking a penalty after 120 minutes of football at 33 years old. There's something in that. There's something too, if you need to make drastic change, if we need to break glass, if we need to do things, you're right, having Milner there, you can come and play three or four different positions in the team.
He's just an option anywhere, isn't he? That's the thing.
And that's a shame. That's a real shame for James Milner, because I think there'll be a piece of paper between the two of them. I love the mentality of chatting to Genie and basically saying, like, you've got a few days to fight for it. He said that the attitude there is, there's that, the midfielders, they're all fighting against each other this week. They're all.
But he said it himself. He said, we're doing this all season long. This is what it's been like. It's not just now that there's a Champions League final. This is what we've had to do all season. We're fighting for our place.
And we're making our competitors better. The harder I fight, the better it makes James Milner. And the harder James Milner fights, the better it makes me. And it's why I was feeling so nervous and so sick. But when you talk to them and you hear them go on about this stuff, I'm at this point now where I could even get to a situation where, again, if you told me Bobby Firmino wasn't fit to start and we had to start Divock Origi, I'm not going to be as made up as if I see Firmino, but I'll go, okay, cool. Let's see how that pans out. We're not even talked about. Like, I mean, I can't see Oxlade Chamberlain getting a start in this out the blue, but he's there. He's in training. He's vying for it. What a wonderful story there and potential for him, even if he's only.
You're saying before, though, you know the way you say about Tottenham's chances, and I feel we've come so far. The fact that we'd be going. Wouldn't it be amazing if Fairy Tale if Ox got in? And that's how the Tottenham kind of mindset again. We're thinking, nah, you know what? We've got a boss team. We don't even need that fairy tale.
We've got those stories. They're there if we need them.
If we need them.
But they're like.
They're back up.
But they're like back up.
Great impact sub as well. You know, giving his eye for goal.
We've got these little things ticking over. You know, you go back to like Istanbul and get the players who are on the way out. You've got that. This is going to be Daniel Sturridge's last appearance for Liverpool, more than likely. You know, we could, I hope we don't, but we could see James Milner move on in the summer. There's a few different bits and pieces like that. And again, you've had the lads who've been at
Alberto
the
Moreno getting on.
Oh, don't.
Push him up front.
Oh my God. But I've never
told your dad to fuck off before. Paul, but I'm so close to telling him to fuck off.
Not so good, are you? Barring that one, I think that's just a great point, is that you can look at like the likes of Sturridge and the likes of Ox, and you could say there's a potential story written for them, but these aren't like we don't need those stories to come to fruition. Like if Oxlade-Chamberlain doesn't get on the pitch, it means we've probably won the European Cup, and he'll just have the story about how this was his comeback.
And at least they'll all be on the bench. Yeah. You know, last year, I mean, we didn't have anyone to put on the bench last year, but the numbers were much more limited. So. Yeah,
absolutely. Very, very exciting indeed. Right, we're getting to that time. It's nearly the end, which means that we're going to have to start thinking about the actual game in real life. Andy, what's your score prediction for this one?
Again, we've already said about being confident, and I don't want to come across as fucking hell. Andy's a bit cocky, isn't he? There, but genuinely think 3 or 4-0. I'm so longing for a final. All throughout my life, we've had 2001. Michael Owen scores 2 against Arsenal, which has never won. Birmingham on pens, Alaves golden goal, Istanbul, the Gerrard final. All these finals where it's been drama, and again, it's because we've always felt like a cup team, or we felt lucky or something. This is the only final I've been to and I've watched, and I'm thinking we've got world class players all over the field, and we've definitely got the potential to be 2 or 3 nil up after half an hour, and I'd love to just see us put to bed all that you were lucky, or it was drama, or it was a miracle, and to just go, you know what, we've absolutely dominated them, and we won 3 or 4 nil, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Dad?
Yeah, I had similar thoughts. I was remembering the game against Newcastle in the early 70s in the cup final, when it was supposed to be evenly matched, and they had Malcolm McDonald up front, who scored loads of goals, and they had Terry McDermott. And we just, it was men and boys, we just totally outplayed them. We beat them 3-0. And everyone was, oh my God, what a performance. And that's what I think will happen. I think we'll beat them 3-0.
Okay.
I'm the same as your dad, as I so often am. I think 3-0 as well. And, I feel like I know that Liverpool have been so pragmatic this season, and they've looked to realise that the game is 90 plus minutes, and we've timed it and we've waited the way we play beautifully. But I do believe that Liverpool should start fast and will start fast because of that experience that we've all spoken about of playing in a European Cup final before. I feel like with the gap, with everything that goes into it, if Liverpool start fast, Tottenham will just start looking around and start thinking to themselves, we don't belong here. And all those little stories, the VAR and all that, it actually all flips on them. And they start thinking, we're lucky to be here and we're being shown up. And if that happens and we score early, I think they just capitulate and we just roll them over for the rest of the game.
It's so mad that I can, you know, I love a good story, and I can think of so many ways for this to go. And so much of it, I think, depends on just how Tottenham choose to approach this game. I think if they try to come out fast, I could see them going, getting an early goal, but us just going, okay, dusting ourselves off,
we did to
and then going and doing like beating them like 3-1 or something like that. The other way I could, and it depends again, is just doing what we've done so much. It's just going, okay, we'll take this game as it comes. Because although the 3-week break has definitely favoured Spurs because they've been able to get more players back in contention for this, it doesn't change the fact that they haven't got the fitness levels that we've got. They haven't been able to rotate it as positively as the way that we have throughout this season. And I think the longer the game goes, I think it's going to favour us. I think we've just got more strength. So I think it goes one of two ways. I do think they'll either get an early goal and we'll come back, or I think it'll be 0-0 at half time and we'll probably win 2-0 or something, but with a couple of second half goals maybe. But either way, as long as we win the fucking European Cup, I genuinely don't care how we do it more than anything else. Yeah, even if this even has to be the death throes of the Liverpool way of doing things over the last 30 years, which is to do it in the most horrendous, hard work way possible, fine, whatever, just do it.
What would you do though if we actually did just do it in a really easy way, win 3? I don't think none of us would know what to do if we won 3 or 4-0.
No.
All we've ever known is this crazy last minute drama and miracles and stuff. And
it's mental, isn't it? Like, I'd imagine sitting there and we just, because we should, Andy. Yeah. That's where we're at, you know, that the gulf in class between us and the league. And yes, they're going to have that thing we've discussed already, that they could just have a look on their side, the right balance, they could get a VAR decision, they could all these blah, 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 blah. If this game goes, if these two teams go toe-to-toe and Liverpool are able to do what they've been doing all season long, it is at least, it's not a flight of fancy. It's a very real possibility, which is just ridiculously exciting when you think about it. Yes, wow, God, I almost don't want this to end because it means that it's
can we real? Do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it all over again. I remember doing this last year, and like I say, it's such a weird situation, such a very weird and odd situation to be in, that we're facing down a European Cup. And we were talking on our podcast, Chris, weren't we, about how like 5 stars has become such a big thing for Liverpool, but it wasn't always. It's only really in 126 years of Liverpool, the spell where 5 stars has become synonymous with the club is a very, very small period. It'd be amazing if we could just start to step up and do the
just the next all thing. Them shirts you've got to get rid of because you've got to put 6 stars on.
Oh no, well I'll deal with that. I'm happy to have my badge on my Redmen jacket re-sewn if I have to with an extra star, and I'm happy to swallow that up if needs be. But no, listen, thank you very much to everyone who's watched the shows this season. What an amazing ride it's been, and hopefully it's not over yet. Hopefully there's so many more exciting journeys and moments and songs and hugs off strangers to look forward to. I personally can't wait. Gents, thank you very much. I don't know how we live between now and the final, but somehow we're going to get through there, and somehow we're going to emerge on the other side, and que sera, what will be, and hopefully there'll be a 6th European Cup in the trophy cabinet. Yes, thank you very much. See you all soon. If you think Liverpool can do it, drop a like on this video. Go and subscribe to theredmentv.com for more amazing content. And I'll see you in Madrid. Salah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.